And it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood, and we're glad everyone could take and come and join us tonight for this program. This is going to be a great time. Glad to have everybody with you. This is Tom Shea, your host. You're joining me tonight for Thursday, October 9th, 2014. This is our monthly visit, the e-retailer conversation. We try to find every month for you an expert in something that deals with small business management. We find experts from around the continent and invite them to come and share with all of us ideas and things that you can take and begin to implement immediately as a part of your business, part of your life. And so for that, we're going to have a good time. So let's see. I need to take care of the technical stuff first, and that is to remind everyone that tonight's event is being recorded. It is being recorded every month, and it will be on the website somewhere probably later tonight. It'll be available in two formats, one MP3 format for those who have an iPod or similar device that you want to download, but it'll also be available as a click and listen link so that if you're sitting at your office or home, you can go to profitsplus.org, go down the left side for e-retailer, and follow the link to the conversations and pick up this one or any one of the others that we have had in the now 6 years that we have had the program. During the course of the evening, anticipating people who are sending in last-minute questions, I will be monitoring the email addresses. I'll be monitoring my personal one, tomshea@profitsplus.org. I will also be monitoring editor@profitsplus.org. That's the email address that sends you your announcement that you get for the event. Also be watching for those who are with me on Facebook. Simply looking for Tom Shea. I'll be checking there all three ways to catch any last-minute questions that people are going to have to be a part of the program. So that being said, as we start the program each month, we have a person who is kind enough. We give him a lot of credit for having developed the concept of what e-retailer conversation became. And that guest is Bill Kendi from up in Michigan. You with us there, Bill?
Well, I am here, and you've been way too kind for way too long. Look,
I had a silly idea,
and it worked out swell. So, I mean, I'm very appreciative of you giving me accolades, but really, this is your show, and you've done a great job. And, Bill, I did not realize that you've been on the phone for 6 years.
It has been 6 years. But, all right, so if I'm being too kind, I mean, should I be kind of cruel and say, considering that,
no,
I mean, you know
you
I'm
a... He's this guy that, you know, he finally had a good idea, and he presented it to me, and now we're having fun. Which is
oh, I was just going to pick on you and say, you know, you're knowing that I'm a big St. Louis Cardinal fan, I was going to ask, how's your baseball team doing?
Which one?
Detroit.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're not.
I don't follow professional sports. I like college ball. But I only like college basketball and football. I don't really follow baseball.
Well, but you're near Michigan State. And Michigan State's famous alumni was Magic Johnson, and Magic owns the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, but it's not baseball. I told you,
I'm thinking, hey, it's a basketball boy done good.
Well, my basketball boys, I like my football guys, you know. I mean, we beat Nebraska last week, and it was close, but we beat them.
That's all that matters.
Anyway, I got to ask you a question. This morning... And today is the October 9th, correct?
Yes.
We had our first hard frost. I went out to my car, because you know I go out early and walk. And I put my windshield wipers up because I thought it was just like mist or something. And I just went over it. I thought, oh my God, I need a scraper. So how's the weather in Florida, Mr. Tom?
Well, I was thinking about getting some ice cream out of the freezer, and I noticed there was some frost in there.
Oh, okay.
So it was cold there. No, tonight it's probably in the mid-80s right now. Humidity's dropping. This is starting to get nice Florida weather. It's starting to finally get to be nice. Although I was in Chicago last weekend, I'm off to Hartford tomorrow. I'm sure I'm going to see cold weather, but I have not seen snow yet. I've gotten close. Hey, so past weather, we as we go looking for people, we have found a guest that we think is going to be a really neat person. And let's see if I can squeeze in a little bit of information for him as I crank up the song that's going to play about him. Our guest tonight is Dr. Frank Wood. Frank Wood is the founder and the CEO of a company called Thriving with Stress. He has developed this innovative, cutting-edge training course designed to manage and mitigate stress. Oh, please, please, please. He has a PhD in clinical psychology. He's been in practice for 10 years, and we found Dr. Wood thanks to our good friend, our favorite CPA, Mike McCormick, who also happens to be in Cincinnati. So we are appreciative, and we know Mike's listening to us tonight, so we appreciate Mike making the recommendation. And with that being said, let me take and shut down Simon and Garfunkel, whose song was Feeling Groovy, and I guess that's the idea of where we're supposed to go tonight, is learning to feel groovy. Dr. Frank, are you with us?
I am. Thanks, Tom, and good to be with you, Bill.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Mr. Frank.
Well, I'm looking forward to tonight because I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning. I have been working and working all kinds of things, and can I just lay down on the couch and we can do this session from a distance?
Cool.
If you want to lay down on the couch, please do. I actually might recommend that you sit up because the audience might be able to hear you a little bit better if you're sitting rather than lying down.
Well, it might come to the point I drop off, but not because of the audience and the people who are participating, because I think you've got this really neat concept that you are bringing to us. You believe that there is a positive factor to stress, and that what you can do is cause us to better understanding of it, and it will make a mental change in the way that we see it and approach it, and perhaps further how we do things. So let me ask you first, tell us what you do. What all does a founder, a CEO, and a psychologist, what all do you do?
Well, that's a great question. One of the things that I learned when I was doing traditional private practice, Tom, is I found myself frustrated at the lack of improvement that many of my clients made. And about 5 years ago, I was introduced to an idea that if I was an expert in something, or if I was knowledgeable in something, I could be the expert in that something. And one of the things that is consistent in most mental illnesses is the issue of stress. Stress often plays a role in the onset of the first symptoms. It plays a role in the persistence of the symptoms over time, and it also plays a role in relapse into subsequent episodes of whatever mental illness, whether it's depression or anxiety or you pick the issue. And so what I decided to do is use my clinical knowledge and turn that into a training program that I could offer more broadly to help people understand how stress impairs our ability to perform at our best.
Okay.
So when a person is feeling that they have a challenge with stress, they are going to perhaps seek counseling, perhaps even some sort of a prescription or a therapy or something that they would do?
What's interesting is most people with stress tend to opt for doing nothing, because most of us are taught from very early on in our lives that, well, if you can't stand the heat, you should get out of the kitchen. There's some advertisement that say never let them see you sweat. So we've got this idea that if we can, you know, live our lives and avoid the stressful things, then we tend to come up on top or we win. And what I believe is that is a position where people tend to not want to deal with stressful things. And so one of the things, Tom, that I'm seeing in businesses is there is nobody inside a business who's really tasked, whether it's an HR person or the CEO, with how do we manage the stress that is naturally a part of the day-to-day life in our company, from big companies to small companies. Many companies just don't deal with the issue.
So is this kind of like watching that movie that Tom Hanks and Gina Davis had, where he was the All-American Girls baseball team, and he goes out and says, there's no crying in baseball or something that line? You're saying, and that's part of then what we have been told, that suck it up and deal with it.
And if you think for yourself, how many times has that message been said to you, either directly or indirectly, in the course of your business life?
May I ask a question, guys?
Go for it.
Frank, is the management of stress a matter of self-actualization? We brought that up a little bit before. Or is it the responsibility of the employer to try to reduce stress on employees? And thirdly, the employer is looking at a bunch of stress just running a business. I just threw three really huge questions at you, and you can answer any one or any of them you want.
Let me take the second question first. And Tom and Bill, I was talking to Naomi Swanson, and she works for the Centers for Disease Control and is tasked with studying workplace stress.
Yeah.
And one of the things that the Centers for Disease Control, really the way they address stress is they take what's called a primary prevention approach to stress. They would like to remove stress from the workplace. And so they will encourage employers to have flexible work hours and have fair pay for their employees and offer vacation times. Now, the reason for all of that is if you create an environment that's less stressful, then the environment they believe is less stressful.
I want to address that down the road. Go ahead.
But one of the things that Naomi told me was, your program, Frank, really helps people deal with stress when it happens. Because the fact is, Bill, you can try to remove stress from your life, but you cannot control that stress. So you can't control that one client who decides to pull their business from you, or you can't always control that one employee who decides to create some turmoil, or you can't control the one machine that you rely on to produce your products from breaking down. And so the reality is in life there are times when reality doesn't meet your expectations, when things are legitimately frustrating or stressful, and it's in those times, if you have tools that help you more effectively adjust to that frustration, that irritation, that stress, you gain a greater capacity to perform more effectively.
Okay.
Now, your second question on awareness, I think awareness is important, but one of the things that I've seen is a lot of companies will invest a lot of money in training.
Yeah.
There's this one training program called Crucial Conversations, and this is offered at thousands of companies nationally and internationally. And it's a wonderful training on how to be more effective in a conversation. But if you're all honked off at the person that you're talking with, you don't remember to use the stuff you've learned. And sometimes you actually do things that are even against the things that you just know you shouldn't be doing. When you're really upset with the person, or it's a very crucial conversation, you think you're losing ground, you don't do things you know to do, and sometimes you do things that you know aren't going to be helpful in the midst of that heated conversation.
So, Frank, is part of the, I guess at least we have to make sure that your very strong point is, it's not controlling stress, it's how you accept its presence and what you do with it. Am I first right in that direction?
Correct. And the person who popularized the term stress was a guy named Hans Selye, who said it's not stress that kills you, but it's your response or your reaction to it. And so the one of the key points that I am training people to understand is to respect the fact that the response to stressful, irritating, frustrating things is actually more important than the frustrating thing. How you respond or how you react to the circumstances that greet you each day is much more important than the specific frustrating or the specific circumstance you find yourself. And Tom, the reason for that is tomorrow you might be frustrated with this, in 2 weeks you might be frustrated with some other thing. But if you learn to respond more effectively to whatever is happening, then you become more capable in a broader way to life as it's happening. Does that make sense?
You know, there's an old axiom that says, the only person that can make me have a bad day is me.
Correct.
What do you think about that?
I believe the thing that drains most people is not the person, is not the other people in their lives, but their experience or their response or the way they get pulled by the other people. So someone once said, you know, you shouldn't let the other person live rent free in your head.
Yeah.
And it's
that's very cool. Yeah.
So when I'm working with someone such as you, when I'm learning from you, what we're doing is the adaptation skills, we're front-loading them as compared to, ooh, I've got stress in my life, how do I get rid of it? You're front-loading the situation as to preparing somebody and helping them to learn how to utilize certain tools so that they can see it when it's coming, I guess, and know what they need to be doing next.
Correct. You're dead on. And a lot of people think that they can remove stress from their lives. I was working with this one company that they were a janitorial company, and one of the staff members said, "Couldn't you just hypnotize me so my stress never showed up?"
I'm sorry.
While that's a nice idea, I don't think that this woman would want to be hypnotized 24/7.
Sorry.
The other interesting thing, Tom, is someone once said that one of the more stressful moments of the day is when you stand up from sleeping. Because when you stand up, your body immediately has to disperse the blood throughout the body so you don't pass out. The idea of stress being something that you want to control, contain, deny, avoid, I believe doesn't get to the real issue. And what all of us want is to be more resilient, have more capacity when that headwind hits us so that we can sustain ourselves even during that. An analogy that I like to use in my training is if you are a ship's captain, and there was a storm, the first thing that you wouldn't pay attention to is Mildred in cabin 14B saying, "My tea isn't hot enough." You would say, "That's not important right now. I need to make sure that the ship is able to navigate through the crashing waves." But that captain would also not only get focused on the crashing waves to the right side of the ship, but he would also be paying attention to the crashing waves on the left side of the ship. And so they would need, in a sense, the whole situation to slow down so they could pay attention to all of the circumstances that were occurring at that moment.
Okay, well, so that's going to prompt a question. However, at the hour we are at for the evening, it's time to take our first and our quick little station break here, and then let me tell everyone that our guest tonight is Dr. Frank Wood, and Dr. Frank is founder of an organization called Thriving with Stress, and you can find Frank online, thrivingwithstress.com, and you can call his office to learn about his programs. His phone number, 513-846-2241, or you can send an email to drfrank@thrivingwithstress.com. And with that, let's take our quick little station break.
This is eRetailer Conversations on PBN, the Profitable Business Network.
So Bill Kendi and Tom Shea with your special guest tonight, Dr. Frank Wood, October 9th, 2014, our program to discuss aspects of stress. So let me pose a first question to you, Frank, and you've seen this one in advance, and I know this person's said they're going to be listening in with us tonight. And I thought this person in writing had a really great analogy. And they talked about how they run a small business and they work together, of which, to me, that's commendable because my parents worked together, my grandparents worked together, but at my age group, nah, there was nobody in the family who was going to work with me. That was just a chosen thing. But this couple has worked together for many years, and the analogy that they shared with it, after having been in business for more than 20 years, is that one of them is kind of like a powerboat, and the other person is kind of like a sailboat. And the confession that they bring in their questions here says, well, this is starting to create problems. This is starting to hurt us both at business and in the home life, which I can't speak to firsthand other than being the child to watch the parents and the grandparents. And their question they want to ask is, so what would be some of the advice that you could give to couples who would work together to handle the stress that comes from owning their own business and the fact that they are together 24/7?
First of all, I say my prayers are with you. One of the things that I have become acutely aware of is each of us has a preferred way of reacting.
Okay. How, as far as, I mean, that we can see what their particulars are?
No, as we will take the motorboat analogy. The person who responds as a motorboat tends to respond or react more aggressively. The sailboat would be a person who responds more passively. And so in the midst of pressure, the motorboat, I presume the motorboat's going to be the husband, they become more aggressive, more assertive with his responses. And the wife or the sailboat may be more, let's let this work out so that we don't react too quickly. Now, what's interesting is at sometimes a motorboat is exactly what's needed, while at other times a sailboat is more what is preferred. And so both the husband and wife in this business actually bring talent, skills, abilities that if used most correctly would complement each other. But the reality is that sometimes the sailboat, the wife might say to the husband, if you were only more like me, we'd have more peace. While the husband might say to the wife, well, if you weren't more motorboatish, we'd be more like me. And so both of them can discount the other because simply of the way they prefer to react when the pressure is high. Now, one of the things that I've seen, Tom, is as people gain a capacity to settle themselves in the midst of a stressful or challenging time, they can both appreciate their own manner of reacting, the motorboat or the speedboat, but they can also gain a flexibility to say, you know, in this situation, your manner of dealing with this client might be more effective than mine. And so they can empower or enable the other people who may respond or react differently to deal most effectively with the demand that they face.
All right, let me ask this question then. When you have the husband-wife situation, and it could also be siblings, it could be parent-child, or it simply be just some form of a partnership, when there's these two people there, one of the challenges that, and I'm not going to throw this into this particular example as such, but if you've got the one who's going ahead in any situation, so don't see this as the powerboat person, who's going ahead and saying, let's do this, and that's the yes, 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 and then you've got the person who hangs back, and that's the no, no. I have, in my visiting with people, have always made a comment that whoever votes no always wins. And then we get a case of a person trying to grow forward who becomes very frustrated, and the person who's wanting to not make this change, not vote this way, is they're saying, are you ever going to give up and just let us go with what we've got? Does that come in to be a part of the stress?
Tom, it can. The capacity all of us has to be able to make more choices only increases as we become a little bit more more settled in that moment. And there is a temptation all of us have in the midst of a demand from, say, a client to want to solve that right now. And our ability to pause ourselves for just a moment and decide, is this how I want to respond, or is this how I'm choosing to react, disable our ability to respond most effectively. Now, I've got this one client. It's a company that's owned by the dad, and he wants to transfer the company to his son, which is a really nice thing. Dad wants to give this company to his son. But the dad has never given a performance review to his son.
Mm-hmm.
And the son has skill deficits. But don't we all? But here's what the father's worried about, is he's going to engage a conversation with his son about his skill deficits, and the son's going to say, Dad, why are you talking to me like I'm 10 years old? You've always been critical of me. When all the dad wants to do is transfer the company to a competent manager, his son, he wants to give the company to his son, but it's just the conversation, how, son, do I tell you where your skill deficits are so that you're a more capable manager of the company I'm going to give to you?
Yeah.
Is an area where this father and this son melt down, and they're almost unable to just have a conversation on how can you most effectively be prepared to take on this company that I built from the ground to where it is today.
Okay, well, that's a circumstance in the situation. So after our break, I guess I'm going to ask you, how do you take that scenario and eliminate stress?
So we will take a break. It is here at the bottom of the hour. You're joining us for our live broadcast of E-Retailer Conversation, Thursday, October 9th, 2014. Our guest joining us tonight, Dr. Frank Wood. Frank was sent to us by another one of our favorite guests, Mike McCormick, the Cincy Tax Coach, because Mike says you want to hear what this guy's got to say. And Dr. Frank Wood's the founder of an organization called Thriving with Stress. You can find him online, thrivingwithstress.com. You can call his office to learn more about his program of Thriving with Stress. His phone number, 513-846-2241. And his email is drfrank@thrivingwithstress.com. And with that, so we can have a little less than a minute worth of de-stressing, here's the song I picked for tonight's commercial. Thank you. Okay, and for those who are listening who are that young, that was the theme song from the old, I guess, 1960s, was Andy Griffith Show, where he were in small town Mayberry, North Carolina, which is near Andy Griffith's hometown of Mount Airy, North Carolina. And I think every time that you enjoyed watching the show, it was kind of a less stressful, less challenging time. So we asked our guest, Dr. Frank, so is that true, Frank? Were those the good old days? Was it really a lot less stressful back then? What is it really the difference that we're having right now?
Dr. Frank, was Opie and Barney Fife and Andy Griffin stressed out?
As I recall, Barney Fife was continually stressed.
Always stressed out.
And the stress response actually dates back to caveman ages. And the stress response is actually in the short term adaptive. It's actually helpful. And so if you see a lion charging you or a bear charging you, your immediate response is a fight or flight response to escape that perceived threat. Now, what's happened in 21st century America is we never get to shut off. We've got cell phones and we've got iPads and we've got text messaging and now we've got Twitter and Pinterest and Facebook and all this social media. So we are connected 24/7. And those people who never take a break from the bombardment of our connected world tend to never settle their stress response. And so back to the stress response, short term it's adaptive. Long term, if the stress response never gets shut off, that's when damage occurs.
What kind of damage?
Well, one of the things that happens actually during a stress response is that your blood can thicken. Now, if you think you're running from a bear, if you're running from a bear and you step on a twig and you start to bleed, actually thickened blood helps your blood clot. But let's say it's not a bear you're running from, but a series of emails you're getting from a client. Your brain does not distinguish, is this email string different than the charging bear? And so your blood will thicken during that stress response. But just consider, do you think that's a good thing for your bloodstream? For you to have thicker blood? No, it's not. And so the protective mechanisms to keep you safe running from the bear are and can be damaging when the stress is perceived. When the stress really isn't a real stress, it's just some kind of mumbo jumbo that you're all hung up with. How dare you call me out in this meeting, boss? Or how dare you send me over to London to confront my direct reports over them fighting in London, which is what one of my clients was asked to do by his CEO. And we can get all wigged out about these demands that we face. And then I could say, worrying about a 30-year mortgage or worrying about speaking in public or the frustration of driving in traffic, all of those things can create a stress response that is no different physiologically than if a bear were charging you in the woods.
So it's pretty much fight or flight. Now, I have two questions to ask you, Frank, if you don't mind, Tom.
Okay.
You know, if you have somebody that's been in a business, you know, that person founded the business, whatever, it's their baby. They gave it birth in the world, if you will. Or they, you know, took over the reins, whatever the case may be. You know, and they do not want to stop working in their business instead of working on their business. That's incredibly amount of stress for them, isn't it, sir?
Is that working in the business instead of on the business?
Yeah, I mean, if they're there every day answering questions, supervising everything instead of delegating and saying, look, this is my business, do it. And training them and teaching them.
Work, that can be incredibly stressful, because if you're working in the business and you get orders that are beyond your capacity to handle, you really need some other people in that business to support you. And if you're constantly in a, I would call it a firefighter mentality. Let me deal with the most recent crisis, and then let me move from that crisis to the next most recent crisis. At some point, you get tired. At some point, you lose your capacity to deal with that next fire. Now, a friend of mine once said, with most fire departments, you actually do not want them on calls all the time. So that they're prepared for the big fire when and if it does happen.
That makes sense.
Okay, so that explains a couple items. I will give a moment of true confession in that while I have not experienced it in quite a while, I do remember in my past occasions of with I'm working in the office and all of a sudden just this cloud of this lump of something falls on the shoulders, and it's exhaustion, just sudden, completely exhaustion. Is that my body telling me you're not dealing well with all of what you're trying to do?
Tom, what I believe, that's your body saying, I am frustrated by something. So that's almost like biofeedback. Your body's saying, hey, Tom, clue in. Something's happening that you don't like. And what I'm teaching people, as you begin to pay attention to just that and use some tools that I teach too, I call it reset your mind-body connection. You gain a capacity increased to deal more effectively with whatever that demand is. Now, what happens when we're experiencing a stress response, Tom, is that our mind will often flood with thoughts and emotions. And when your mind floods with thoughts or emotions, you often get distracted by the thoughts. Should I do this? Should I do that? I could do this. I could do that. I should. There's no way I'm going to do this. But you know what? The person deserves that. So you could get flooded by all those thoughts, which will cause you to get a little bit distracted. And when your mind floods with emotions, you tend to overemphasize some things and underemphasize others. And so if you're in terror, you're not saying, is the beef stew cooked well? You're saying, how do I escape this terror? So you're not focused on everything. You're only focused on some things. During a stress response also, your body will fill with tension, which will often cause you to feel uncomfortable, which is what you are describing. And then you will engage in some kind of reactive behavior. I call it ready, fire, aim. And so if you're uncomfortable, distracted, over-focusing on only some of the information, and ready, firing, aiming in your reactive behavior, you're going to be less effective at dealing with whatever that headwind is.
Well, you know, Frank, you know, a lot of people think that the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Uh-huh.
And in many minds, that equates to the more hours I put in, the better off the business will be. Having said that, I'm curious, you know, very interested in your opinion, is that it's not the quantity of time you put into a business, it's the quality of how you're managing it or the quality of what you do. And am I right or am I way off track, sir?
What I know is people who work harder tend to be more successful because they've swung the bat more times.
Okay.
And you could be a good baseball player, hits about 300. But the good baseball players who get 2,000 at-bats a season tend to get on base more often than the good baseball players who get 100 bats a season.
Well, what do you think happens to those guys that wake up at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning and can't go back to sleep because they're still thinking about what they have to do at the office when they get there at 6:30?
That person is working harder and less effectively.
Really?
And what you'll hear from good athletes is actually when they're in their zone, the game will slow down. And they'll even be able to see they'll see the baseball spinning as it's coming to the plate and be able to understand what kind of pitch has just been thrown just by watching the movement of the ball. And they will have a much greater capacity to hit that ball. And so the person who finds themselves waking up in the middle of the night is actually experiencing a stress response while they're sleeping. And that stress response is going to keep that person from most effectively managing themselves when the lights are on during the daytime.
Well, Tom, what do you think about that? And, you know, how does this dovetail in with our guest for next one?
Good question. Let me share. I did get to visit with our guest for next month. Let me take and share a few brief moments from her. Bill, our guest coming to join us for Thursday night is kind of special. You know that I live in the South, and as a Southerner, I love watching in the fall the football, and football has neat things to watch and has cheerleaders. And the person I found for our guest for November, I think, is probably the biggest and best cheerleader out there. Her name is Becky McRae, and she has a website called smallbizsurvival.com. So our guest, Becky McRae. Becky, are you there this afternoon?
I am.
Well, we are excited to have you come and join us on Thursday night, November 13th, 8 o'clock Eastern, because we think you've got a lot of fascinating stories that you can tell all of our listeners about small business in small towns.
First of all, I am a small business owner in a small town myself, so I'm coming straight from experience here. I'm going to talk a little bit about what small businesses can do to take advantage of the upcoming rush of holiday shop local campaigns and Shop Small Saturday and all that attention that's going to be focused on local and independent businesses of all kinds, retail and more, and how businesses can take advantage of their own unique local situation. Wherever you are, big city, small town, you're part of a local culture and a local environment that makes your business something really special and that big businesses have to try to pretend to be as cool as you are. And so we're going to talk about ways you can take advantage of everything that makes your business special, interesting, and exciting for customers, especially as we head into the holiday time of year when it's a big time for shopping and lots of things going on for small business and an incredibly busy time for business owners.
So we're going to get to talk about the idea that as compared to the concept of we small business owners can't do what the big boxes do, quite the contrary. They can't do all the neat things that we can do. So we can talk about all these awesome things that small business owners can do that's unique, that's going to get people to want to come and do business with us.
Right. We are in the position of being the luxury and the amazing thing that people get to do, not things that they have to do. You have to go to the big box. Well, you want to go and enjoy and appreciate a small retailer. You want to support your local businesses because you know what a difference they make in your community. And surveys show that customers actually understand this, they know it, and they are starting to change their behavior gradually. It's up to us to show off all the wonderful stuff that we can do over and above all those big competitors who think they're something.
So this ought to be a great time. So we're going to get to talk to, like, the most awesome cheerleader, who is the head cheerleader of Small Biz Survival all across North America. Sounds right, Becky?
It does.
All right, Bill, so that's it. It's going to be Thursday night, November 13th, 8 o'clock Eastern, Becky McRae, and in the interim we're going to tell people that if they go over and want to get to meet who this wonderful person is, go to smallbizsurvival.com, and they can meet Becky McRae. So that's it. She's a person. I love watching what she does. I've been reading her blog for several years, and I thought, okay, good time coming in the fall to get to her, and myself coming from a small southern town, I like to tie to that in a sense of the idea of close to Thanksgiving, which, by the way, to all those who are listening with us tonight, we want to wish a very special Thanksgiving to all of our friends in Canada, because this is their Thanksgiving weekend. Monday is Thanksgiving Day, and in Canada, so we wish best for all those. I also have an email that just came in. It's addressed to Frank, and it's from everybody's mutual friend, Mike McCormick, the Cincy tax coach. And Mike says, no matter who we are or where we do, our work we will be faced with stress. As much as we would like it to be programmed or reduced, it will present itself. Frank's program is designed around productivity, dealing with the stress at the instant it happens. So one of your fans, Frank, throws that one in for you. I want to make sure we get this part in. I got to believe I'm not the only person out there that when I get to that point of I get stressed with things that I do and projects that I accept, when someone calls and says, oh, would I read this for them or look at this or could I get something written for them, whatever it may be, and I do have that nasty habit of not saying no there. How about for everyone tonight a little bit of a step-by-step, how many steps that you need to take with it? Tell us, all right, so here's what you need to do.
Here's one of the things that I would recommend for everybody in your audience. And this is something I call tapping into your senses. And that is intentionally focusing on your senses. And we all have five senses: sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. And one of the interesting things, Tom, about the brain is your brain really cannot focus on two things at exactly the same time. And so when you intentionally focus on your senses, you feel the cup of coffee. And if you have a cup of coffee tomorrow morning, hold the cup of coffee and feel it in your hands. Feel the warmth of that cup. Maybe and you're going to have this, Tom, more than Bill or I. But as you step out tomorrow morning and you feel the heat on your face. Now, what Bill and I will face is the cool on our face. But as you experience just the weather that's in your community. But as you intentionally focus on your senses, what that does is that settles your brain, so that you're a little bit more capable of being a little bit more settled in that moment. And those of us who begin to or who practice, I call it tapping into their senses, gain a renewed capacity to be more dynamically effective in that moment. So that's something that all of your listeners can take away as a takeaway from this. Now, it doesn't sound very complicated. It's like, oh, you just want me to focus on my senses? But if you really focus on the texture of your senses and settle yourself, you listen to the fan, you feel your feet as gravity is pulling them to the ground, and you really pay attention to your senses, that will settle you. Now, one other thing that's interesting is, and I'm sure you've had this, Tom, you'll have had a difficult day and you'll go home and you'll engage in a conversation with somebody, or actually they will engage in a conversation with you, and you'll miss half or a third of everything that's spoken to you.
Right. I agree.
And
is that multitasking? Is that where that comes into play?
What that is your brain is distracted by your stressful day. And
yes.
When your brain is distracted by your stress response, your brain actually cuts you off from your senses. And
yes.
So you just stop paying attention. You'll pass an off-ramp on a highway because you're all wrapped up in this phone call or this conversation or the frustration of the moment. And so as you begin to tap into your senses and do this intentionally, you'll gain a flexibility capacity to be a more present Tom or a more present Bill in that moment.
And ultimately reduce stress.
It reduces the stress response. It doesn't take away the stress.
Now, Frank, I have a question to ask you. Sometimes we all have a tendency in life, at least I do. I mean, you know, I'm not that smarter guy. But you kind of, after a while, you know, don't you think that people need to prioritize what should be stressful and what shouldn't be? It's like, okay, what if I don't do that? or what if I let this go? Or maybe I just need to stop and go out to dinner with my wife. Or, you know what I mean? I mean, sometimes you go, what's the worst? You know, I kind of go back to that deal, Karen. What's the worst that could happen if I don't get this deadline today?
Now, Bill, I'm going to give you some, I'm going to give you my counterintuitive approach to stress.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
Yes, I mean, here with bated breath and a pen in hand.
Those things that are stressful to you are actually things that are important to you. Because if you didn't care about them, you wouldn't stress about them.
Really?
So the things that are stressful are actually things that are important. And so it is in your interest when you find something that's stressful, not to avoid it, but to become almost inquisitive. What's the big deal about this thing that got me going?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, this is really counterintuitive because most people think if you could just take the stressful stuff away, I'd be fine.
Right.
But if you think about it, whenever you get frustrated with your wife, your kids, your partner, your work, your direct reports, your boss, your clients, it's because they've done something or haven't done something that you wanted them to do.
That's brilliant. Very good. Yep.
And
now, after our break, I want to ask you, are the millennials in our set of life, if you will, are they right by not wanting to be stressed?
Do you want me to ask that now or later?
I think we have to take a break, don't we, Tom?
Quick break. Let everybody know who we are, where we're at. Guest tonight, Dr. Frank Wood, whose organization is called Thriving with Stress, and our hour tonight is spent stress-free talking with Dr. Frank to learn how we can see our life adapting to the stress that we have, I would guess we've invited into our life. Frank teaches to organizations, to individuals, educational scenarios. He teaches how to live with stress in your life, and so it's as productive for you as compared to being non-productive and a problematic for you. You can find Dr. Frank at 513-846-2241. And you can find Frank on live at thrivingwithstress.com. And with that, let's get this last little break in.
This is the Profitable Business Network.
And so let's turn it back to Dr. Frank. Let him ask his respond to the question that Bill Kendi has put before him.
The millennial question.
Bill, your question was about millennials.
I mean, millennials are kind of like, they don't want to do anything that's stressful. They are waiting to, they take 6 years to get out of college, don't get married, don't buy homes, which is driving construction industry bonkers. And they don't want to do anything that might interfere on their lifestyle. Now, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Is the lack of employment? You know what I mean. I mean, is that a great attitude to have that leads to longer health of your life, Dr. Frank?
Bill, recently I've had the pleasure of working with a number of millennials.
Yep.
And what I've experienced in working with millennials is they experience stress the same way you and I do because they're human. Now, what some millennials are doing is they're delaying life decisions like getting married or having kids. But that doesn't mean they don't experience stress because they have expectations. They've got a life as they'd prefer it to be. And what you'll find with some millennials is that they are very tightly wound about having free time, about having quality friendships, about having time that is open for them to go to their proverbial fish concerts or whatever. And their priorities, however, Bill, may not be your priorities. But they experience stress the same way you or I or you or I do. It's they're not free from stress.
Okay.
So, but now from what you've also said, no one's really free from stress. It's just how do we adapt to it?
Correct. The day your stress dies, the day you have no more stress, Tom, is the day you're no longer living.
Yeah, really, I was going to say, that's what God says.
Because you're going to have a bill, or you're going to have a relationship, or you're going to have a flat tire, or you're going to have a traffic light, or you're going to have, you pick it, but there's going to be something that's going to happen to you either later today or tomorrow morning that's going to frustrate you.
Well, Dr. Frank, you know, do we create, are we our own, you know, it's like Pogo said, I have met the enemy and it is me. And for those of you listening that don't remember, Pogo is a cartoon character. But do we really, are we our own worst enemy that we create stress maybe there shouldn't be and we need to just take a deep breath and say, okay, this is cool. I'm one of God's creatures. I'm cool. What do you think, sir?
Bill, you experience stress when life isn't going the way you want it to go to, or when life isn't going the way you would prefer it to.
Yeah.
And so anytime life greets you with kind of an obstacle, you will experience likely a stress response. The more important thing isn't so much the stress response, but the duration, how long that stress response lasts. The more quickly you can adapt to that challenge, you shorten the stress response.
That's
and then you're demonstrating by that a more resilient response to that obstacle, that challenge, that irritation. The longer it takes, that's when more damage occurs.
Mm-hmm. Just let it go. Just let it go.
It's not so much let
it
go.
I hear that. I hear that.
What I believe is if you learn to appreciate, wow, there I go again reacting to that, and then rally some resources, maybe ask for help, maybe delegate, maybe take a deep breath, maybe ask a question or clarify, you gain a flexibility in that moment. Now, is it okay if I tell you a story?
Absolutely.
Sure.
My daughter's 16 says, hey, Dad, let's go to dinner. Now, anybody who's got a 16-year-old daughter, that really doesn't ever happen. So I said, sure, let's go to dinner. And so we went to a popular local restaurant. The parking lot was crowded, so I said, you go in, I'll park the car, and I'll be in. So I parked the car, I walked in, and my daughter says, it's a 25-minute wait, Dad. Now, what did I think she had done?
You probably thought she went to the counter, asked to see, put her name in at the for our table, and the person said, 25 minutes, and they do or don't have one of those little vibrating gadgets.
Correct. I presume she had done that. So after 30 minutes, I went up to my daughter, Emily, and I said, Emily, you said it was a 25-minute wait. And she greeted me with, well, I didn't know if you wanted to wait 25 minutes, so I found it was 25 minutes, and I told you when you came in.
Okay.
So I immediately got a little bit frustrated. We went to the car. We ordered the same pizza we would have ordered at a different pizza location. And I was driving to that location with my daughter. I said, what did you think I meant by you go in? And she said, you didn't tell me anything. And I said, well, here's what typically happens. And I explained it. And she said, after that, if you had told me that, I would have done that, Dad, but you didn't tell me that. And many times we create stressful stuff because we think we're so much clearer than we really are. And then we presume that the other person understood what we didn't tell them.
I agree with that.
Or we thought they thought in our thought process and they didn't, and we're cranked with a, you know, my gosh, do I have to tell you everything?
Correct. But how many times have you been, you thought you were completely clear when the other person was like, more unclear than you could imagine with what simple instructions you thought you gave them.
I thought you were here with what I told you I thought I said to you. Figure that one out.
But it is amazing at how we can make things much more complicated. But also, Tom and Bill, we can make things much less complicated if we settle ourselves and say, hey, Emily, I want you to go in the restaurant. Make sure you leave the name. I'm going to park the car. And if you're going to leave the name, talk to the person, get them to write down the name, and I'll be in. Now, if I had done that, guess what my daughter would have done? That.
Giving you this, Dad, you don't have to tell me everything.
She could have said that, but likely is we would have had the table in 25 minutes.
Well, Tom, you've got two teenage sons. How old are your boys?
My boys are 20 years old.
Mm-hmm. So you know that better than I do. My daughter's 30, so.
Yeah. Well, guys, let me take and tell everyone it's been a great evening. We're thrilled that you would come and join us to listen in on our program. Our guest tonight has been Dr. Frank Wood. Frank Wood is a clinical psychologist. He's been in practice for over 10 years. And Frank has a program that I would invite you to go and take a look at thrivingwithstress.com. It's 513-846-2241. And it is, as Frank describes, it's a program that will turn the tables on stress. So if you run into situations like I do and you wind up getting yourself a little too tightly put together at times, this is the type of things. And you heard an endorsement earlier this evening from our friend Mike McCormick, the Cincy Tax Coach, who wholeheartedly endorses him. Frank, thank you, sir. Much appreciated you would take your time on a Thursday night to come and be with us.
Yeah, pleasure and an honor, Frank.
It's been fun, guys.
That has been. And Mr. Bill, thank you for coming and joining me for this evening, as you do every month.
Appreciate you inviting me, Tom.
And with that, we sign off each night with our favorite little cha-ching sound and take it home.
That's a cat. No, we don't want to hear that, do we?
Yes, we do. It's that time of night. Hey, everybody. Thanks for being with us.
It's been our pleasure to share fresh ideas and trends from premier small business owners, coaches, and resources. Join Tom Shea and guests again next month for e-retailer conversations right here on PBN, the Profitable Business Network.